Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon this morning? Love, not just a feeling. Based on our Old Testament reading that Ben read for us, especially these verses from Deuteronomy 30, God says, therefore, choose life, that you and your children may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast unto him. Please follow your sermon outline handed to you as you came in, as we consider our theme, love, not just a feeling. Now, ladies and girls, do I have your attention? Ladies and girls, you can listen if you want to, but these next words are especially directed to the men and to the boys who are in attendance. Today is Sunday, February 16th. So what day was Friday? And don't say the 14th. Valentine's Day. Now, gentlemen, were you prepared? Do I embarrass any of you by name? Did you have something ready to give your wife, your mother, your grandmother, or your girlfriend? The tradition of giving gifts and gifts of love on Valentine's Day comes from the life of a faithful Christian man who lived just after the time of Jesus. His name was Valentine. He was thrown into prison by the Roman government because of his fearful witness to our Lord Jesus Christ. And while awaiting his execution for being a Christian, Valentine wrote notes of love to those people who he cared about in his life, and he signed every note with these words, love your Valentine. From this historical event, we get the practice of cards and candies and flowers to our loved ones, and I well imagine that most people in our world, well, maybe even a lot of church people, let me ask you, raise your hand, how many of you were not aware of the origin of Valentine's Day, of a man in a Roman prison? There's a number of us. Well, many people today have no concept that Valentine's Day came from a faithful Christian man who was to become a martyr in prison because of his love of Christ and others. And by the way, now you women and ladies can listen. You can also give special gifts of love to the special men in your life as well. It's not too late. At the very least, I see some ladies talking to their gentlemen. See, it's not too late. From this historical practice and this day of Valentine's Day, if nothing else, it can make the world around us pause for just a moment and consider one of God's greatest gifts to all of mankind, the gift of love. Today's Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy 13 spoke of this, loving the Lord your God, holding fast to him. And Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so now I love you, and you now abide in my love. How has Jesus loved us? Take a glance, we do it every Sunday. Take a glance at the crucifix above our altar. How has our Lord Jesus loved us? The real definition of love, according to the Bible, is sacrifice. Love is giving up my rights for the needs of another. Would you say that with me? Love is giving up my rights for the needs of another. Love is an act of the will, not what we've turned it into in our modern age, just a feeling or an emotion. Some time ago, the wonderful singer and performer Tina Turner had a popular song that promoted the false idea that love is just a feeling or an emotion. The title of the song was, What's Love Got to Do with It? Listen to just a few words. I will not be Tina Turner singing and dancing in her outfits, for which you should give thanks to God. This is what Tina Turner's song said. You must understand, though the touch of your hand makes my pulse react, But it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl. What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? What's love but an old-fashioned notion? What's love got to do with it? How important it is for each of us to know what is true and lasting love. How the world around us is seeking love. The crazy things that people will do to feel loved or appreciated. Sadly, today, a false understanding of love leads many of us and many people to disappointment. This is true in all walks of life. From a teenager's first crush to singles looking for love in all the wrong places, to married folks trying to keep the love alive, to those who by death or divorce are alone now looking desperately to be loved again. So many people have a false concept about love. They confuse love with infatuation, love with physical attraction, love with warm feelings, love with sex. The truth is, the reality of life in terms of love often leads us to disappointment. Things in our lives are not always what we dreamed they would be. Sin is real. And the results of sins include the reality that people will hurt you and you will hurt others. Physical attraction fades. Emotional excitement goes up and down with time. There are numerous tragic conclusions that result with building on a false foundation of what love is. But do you want to hear some good news today? Oh, let me ask you again. Do you want to hear some good news today? Yeah, well. The Bible tells us this. Real love avoids disappointment and leads us to a life that God intends for us to have. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, and by the way, all these things are on your sermon outline. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. What does that mean? Simply this. We must look to God to see what true and lasting love is all about. Look not into your own hearts. Look not into the eyes of another. Look not into feelings or experiences. Look not to TV shows or movies or modern songs. Look instead at the very nature and the very actions of God. When we look there, we see the true definition of love. And here it is, and I'm going to have you repeat it after me. Love isn't not yet. Love is an act of the will. Not yet. Iris is so eager. Anthony, put a hand over Iris's mouth. Love is an act of the will that sacrifices oneself for the needs of another. Listen to it again, then I'll have you repeat it after me. Here is the biblical definition of love. An act of the will that sacrifices oneself for the needs of another. What is love together? Love is an act of the will that sacrifices oneself for the needs of another. It's on your outline, by the way. Almighty God sent His Son, Jesus, to die for sinful mankind, to die for you and me, to pay the price for our love, for our forgiveness. Listen to 1 John 4:9. By this, the love of God was made clear to us, that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Almighty God loved the unlovable, you and me, even when we did not love Him. This shows us that love is not just a feeling. It's an act of the will, a commitment. 1 John 4:10 puts it this way. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the payment for our sins. Jesus, in love and obedience to his Father in heaven, gave himself up for you on the cross to pay for your sins, to rescue you from hell, to make you friends with Almighty God. Jesus himself says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this. But he would lay down his life for his friends. Now, most of us have memorized the most famous passage in the Bible, John 3:16. The passage about love that gives. And if you want to, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, many of us have memorized that 16th verse. But we forget the next verse, verse 17, which says, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. These two verses show us the very heart of God. He loves, he gives, he saves. Now it's time to quit preaching and time to start meddling. My wife knows what I'm about to say. If you want to write my pink slip, get me out of here, this is your chance to do it. As a preacher, I'm called to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and I do to the best of my humble ability. But what would I see? What do I see Sunday after Sunday? I'm seeing it today. I see it every Sunday. Some people are sleeping. Some people are not paying any attention. Some people are fiddling with electronic devices or talking to one another. And what should I do? Get angry? Speak judgment? No, God deals with people. The message from this pulpit has to only be Jesus' sacrificial love that alone changes hearts. The Bible promises us as Christ's love is proclaimed, our faith is strengthened. And faith in Jesus' love brings real results. As each of us, children, teenagers and adults grow to better love and know Christ's love, we are freed. Freed with the confidence that God is looking after me. Freed with the confidence that I can willingly sacrifice my wants for the needs of somebody else. Freed to share his love with others who need it so. As the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. He first loved us. He first loved us. He first loved us. Paul puts it this way in Romans 5. For when we were still without strength, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Come with me as we do every Sunday. Come with me to the cross. Look fully into the eyes of Jesus, paying for and dying for your sin. Look fully into the eyes of love. Look fully into the eyes of him who gave himself for you. And that old rugged cross, did you hear me? On that old rugged cross, your sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus. On that old rugged cross, you have been made righteous in the eyes of a holy God. On that old rugged cross, see what love is. We have said it before, but now look at the cross as we make the biblical definition of love. Love is an act of the will that sacrifices oneself for the needs of another. My dear friends, we sinners are incomplete in our love. On our own, we don't love as we ought. But our loving God has good news for us. We can grow both in trusting in his love for us and grow in sharing that love with others. This is what 1 John 4 says. Listen to these words. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. God abides in him. And by this, God's love is perfected within us. That means the more we know God loves us, the more we can give that love to others. I imagine you can name somebody in your heart and life right now of a person you need to love, perhaps to forgive, a person for whom you can sacrifice your wants for their needs. Who is that person in your life? As you think of that person, let me end this sermon with a story. A true story taken from the battlefields in Europe in World War I. Two boyhood friends were serving together in the British Army. There were thousands of others in the muddy, cold, dugout trenches spread all over this battlefield. From time to time, soldiers were commanded to go over the top, to leave their trenches, and to attack the enemy forces in an open expanse of death and destruction called no man's land. On one horrible attack, one of the boyhood friends, James, fell severely wounded. His friend William made it back to the relative safety of the trenches. James lay suffering in pain alone. The fighting continued, and no man's land was nowhere for anybody to be. William wanted to go to his friend James, but his commanding officer forbid him to do it. It would be a suicide mission. You had to stay in the trench. But against orders, when the officer turned his back, William went over the top. He climbed out of his trench to the place where his boyfriend James lay dying. Somehow he managed to get James back to the safety of the trench, but it was too late. His friend was gone. He had died. And seeing William carry and then lie down gently James' lifeless body, the commanding officer said sarcastically, "Well, was it worth it? Was it worth risking your life for this dead man?" Without hesitation, William said to his commanding officer, "Yes, sir, it was worth it. My friend's last words to me made it worth it to me." James looked up to me and said, "William, I knew you'd come for me." My friends, our Lord Jesus Christ has come, and he's come for you, and he's come for me. He would not let anything prevent him coming to us, dying for us, rising for us, defeating for us the powers of sin and death and the devil. Jesus lived up to his own words when he said this: "Greater love has no man than this, but that he would lay down his life for his friends." As God tells us by the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, God says to you today, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." As John of the New Testament has told us, we love because God first loved us. So I ask you, what's love got to do with it? Everything. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, Amen.